Tonight on the Worldview Report, the Internal Revenue Service is not seen by the average American as a law enforcement agency, but today's IRS agent is highly trained in special military operations and criminal takedowns. This is not your grandfather's IRS, and it's about to get a lot bigger and stronger. Another food processing plant has gone up in flames under mysterious conditions. We've also got new developments in the United Nations World Health Organization's plan to get the entire world on board with a pandemic treaty that gives the WHO authority to declare public health emergencies. Also, is the corporate mainstream media trying to bait patriotic Americans into taking up arms against the government? We've got a report on that that you do not want to miss. And there's a movement afoot to normalize pedophilia, as we'll hear it straight from the mouth of a licensed psychological counselor working in Pennsylvania's prison system. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Report. I'm Brennan House. The IRS has set specific requirements for new agents that require them to be armed and, quote, willing to use deadly force if necessary, end quote. We're not sure what scenario would require an IRS agent to fire on a fellow American with deadly force. But we do know that the agency has purchased millions of rounds of ammunition over the last several years, including 750,000 rounds in the current fiscal year alone. According to the agency's website, IRS agents are expected to, quote, maintain a level of fitness necessary to effectively respond to life-threatening situations, end quote, and, quote, carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force if necessary, end quote. According to the recruitment ad, agents must be, quote, willing and able to participate in arrests, execution of search warrants, and other dangerous assignments, end quote. According to reports, the agents will be armed with 40 caliber pistols, one of the more heavyweight and deadly rounds fired out of a pistol. But that's not all. The IRS agents also have access to and are trained in semi-automatic rifles and tactical shotguns. When they knock on your door, they apparently don't come to play nice. The IRS in 2021, its annual report, contains a section that shows, in pictures, heavily armed agents simulating an assault on a suburban home at a law enforcement training facility in Brunswick, Georgia. No, this is not your grandfather's IRS. And it is, as we said in the introduction tonight, about to get a whole lot bigger, a whole lot stronger, and a whole lot more dangerous. The alarming job description comes as the agency seeks to hire 87,000 new agents after the U.S. Senate approved the Inflation Reduction Act on a party-line vote, with Kamala Harris being the tiebreaker. After news about the IRS recruitment ad spread like wildfire, which, by the way, touched off public outrage across social media, the IRS removed the ad, but not before many who viewed it were able to capture screenshots. Under President Obama, almost every federal agency, including non-law enforcement agencies like the EPA and HUD, went on a bullet-buying binge. Now, it's starting again under the Biden regime. And let's not forget that just last fall, we caught the U.S. Army National Guard advertising on its website for detainment specialists to guard, quote, detention/internment, end quote, facilities. A slightly modified, less threatening sounding version of that same recruitment ad is still online at the U.S. Army website. Doesn't it make you wonder what the federal government has planned for us? In other news, a fire completely destroyed a building at Pendleton Flour Mills in Eastern Oregon on Wednesday. The Gateway Pundit reports that officials said a small fire that started on Tuesday afternoon and reignited early Wednesday morning caused the Pendleton Flour Mills to go up in flames. Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Brown stated, quote, "Yesterday, August 9th at 2:55 p.m., City County Dispatch received a report on black smoke coming from the Pendleton Flour Mills with no visible flames. The Pendleton Fire Department responded and extinguished the small fire. However, it remained on the scene conducting fire watch. The fire subsequently reignited at approximately 4 o'clock this morning, at which time it was fully engulfed due to dry grain, as well the wood structure within," end quote. Well, as you guys know, there have now been well over 100 food processing plants that have burned to the ground, many of them with unexplained causes, and that's just in 2022. If we look at the death toll caused by the COVID gene therapy injections from a purely financial perspective, who do you think has the most to lose? Well, I would say, without a doubt, it would have to be the life insurance companies, who are having to shell out millions of dollars in benefits to families of people who died way earlier than the insurance company projected. This is not a game for companies built on the very precise paradigm based on the average lifespans in various societies around the world. They play for keeps. If they don't, they go bankrupt. Dr. Harvey Reich is chairman of the Department of Epidemiology at Yale and is one of the first to raise this issue, as he did in an interview with Just the News on August 7th. Watch this.
How do we step back and start to break the cycle of failure that we've had with the pandemic and now monkeypox?
Probably there are only two ways that this is going to be fought back, and both of them involve using the courts as the tool that's potentially available. The biggest interests are the ones who have to fight back the soonest, which is the insurance companies that are having to pay early unexpected mortality claims for people that their actuaries have evaluated will live longer than they have. And they have a major financial risk that they have to figure out how to manage. And they're the ones who are going to go back against the vaccine manufacturers saying that the representation about all-cause mortality was misrepresented from the original trials. That, I think, is going to be a major pushback on the vaccine manufacturers. In the meantime, we have the lower level cases about vaccine mandates, mask mandates, and things like that, where we, now that we have public officials openly admitting that the vaccines do not prevent spread, there's no rationale for having vaccine mandates, either in universities or institutions and companies.
Well, if that's the case, and these insurance companies are successful in court, the vaccine makers had better get their checkbooks out, because there could be some massive awards coming. The UN World Health Organization is moving ahead with its plans to enact a new or revised international pandemic treaty, despite encountering setbacks earlier this summer after dozens of countries, primarily outside the Western world, balked at joining the plan. The Defender reports that a majority of WHO member states on July 21st, during a meeting of WHO's intergovernmental negotiating body, agreed to pursue a legally binding pandemic instrument that will contain, quote, both legally binding as well as non-legally binding elements, end quote. Stat News described the agreement, which would create a new global framework for responding to pandemics, as, quote, the most transformative global health call to action since the WHO itself was formed as the first specialized United Nations agency in 1948, end quote. Meanwhile, the World Economic Forum, African Union, and World Bank, which created a billion-dollar fund for, quote, disease surveillance, end quote, and, quote, support against the current as well as future pandemics, end quote, are developing their own pandemic response mechanisms, including new cross-country vaccine passport frameworks. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced August 11th it is relaxing its COVID-19 guidelines and dropping the recommendation that Americans quarantine themselves if they come into close contact with an infected person. The CDC also said people no longer need to stay at least 6 feet away from others. ABC News reports that the changes, which come more than 2.5 years after the start of the pandemic, are driven by a recognition that an estimated 95% of Americans 16 and older have acquired some level of immunity, either from being vaccinated or infected. That's what agency officials said. Quote, "The current conditions of this pandemic are very different from those of the last 2 years," end quote. That's what the CDC's Greta Massetti said, and she's author of the guidelines. Well, folks, let's be honest. The real reason the CDC is relaxing the rules is because hardly anyone is paying attention to them. Only the most diehard COVID cult members are still walking around in masks and asking when they can line up for their next booster. The majority of Americans have decided that they are done dancing to the tune of corrupt government agencies. Agencies that have proven that they are not concerned at all with public health. And they're much more worried about how best to consolidate their newfounded powers. If they really cared about public health, they would stop the mRNA injections immediately and launch an investigation into the alarming numbers of young, healthy people who are dying and being critically injured from these shots. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell. Years ago, when I invented my pillow, I was faced with every adversity you could think of. No retailers wanted to sell my pillow. That's come full circle. Vendors took advantage of me, and I was copied by China. Well, by the grace of God, I was able to get through all that and learn from it. I have a passion to help other U.S. entrepreneurs, and that's why I created my new platform, mystore.com. We have hundreds of products from amazing entrepreneurs, and to celebrate, I'm going to put my pillows on mystore.com right now. You can get my standard my pillows regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get my standard queen size, regular $79.98, now only $29.98. Or you can get my premium king size, regular $89.98, now only $34.98. So go to mystore.com and use that promo code on your screen to get huge discounts on all my store products. Thank you and God bless. Hello, everyone. I'm here to tell you about one of the most important events ever. This event will change history and help save our country. It's going to be live stream this weekend, August 20th and 21st, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time on Lindell TV at frankspeech.com. Go get the Frank Speech app at the App Store now. And please share this everywhere with every person you know on every platform you know. Thank you.
In a disturbing story, a counselor for sex offenders who works with the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections is defending so-called, quote, minor attracted persons, end quote, and comparing pedophilia to a normal sexual preference. In a video posted to YouTube that has since been clipped and posted to Twitter, Miranda Galbraith describes adults who are sexually attracted to children as, quote, probably the most vilified population of folks in our culture, end quote. She adds that, quote, the term pedophile has moved from being a diagnostic label to being a judgmental, hurtful insult that we hurl at people in order to harm them or slander them, end quote. Wait a minute. Slander a child predator? That's what she's concerned about. Take a look at her comments in this video.
Folks, my name is Miranda. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a licensed professional counselor and sex therapist in Erie, Pennsylvania. And I want to talk about minor attracted persons because they are probably the most vilified population of folks in our culture. And most folks are making incorrect assumptions about them without actually knowing much about them. And those assumptions create harm. You may have noticed that I'm using the term minor attracted persons, sometimes abbreviated to MAPS, instead of the more commonly used term pedophile. And I'm doing this because the term pedophile has moved from being a diagnostic label to being a judgmental, hurtful insult that we hurl at people in order to harm them or slander them. We are all people first with many different facets or parts of ourselves, and this includes folks who are attracted to minors. This term simply means that the person has an enduring sexual or romantic attraction to minors. They've not chosen this attraction, just as the rest of us have not chosen whatever our attraction is. You don't get to choose to be heterosexual or to be gay or whatever you are, and you don't get to choose to be a minor attracted person. Some minor attracted persons are attracted to a specific age range of minors, while some are not. And some minor attracted persons are exclusively attracted to minors and are not attracted to adults at all. Some minor attracted persons are also attracted to adults.
So let me get this right. This woman complains about saying anything mean about child molesters and says it is harmful to a, quote, already marginalized population, end quote, and that we should not make assumptions about these people. And then she goes on to state that they can't help what or who they're attracted to. That's just insane. And to think that this woman is in the role of a counselor. Jordan Boyd has an interesting article up at The Federalist that takes a look at the psychological war being waged by the administrative state in collusion with the corporate media against patriotic Americans. Boyd says the FBI and media narrative in the days after the FBI's unprecedented raid on the home of a former president and opposition party leader was one of, quote, feigned surprise that such authoritarian tactics would prompt any outrage, end quote. The media and Democrat operatives then simultaneously used the raid to project their expectations of a violent reaction onto their political opponents. The right's outrage over yet another high-profile example of federal intelligence agencies applying double standards to Democrats and their political opponents was quickly exploited by corrupt actors such as MSNBC, and it was used to accuse conservatives like YouTuber Steven Crowder of trying to, quote, agitate for civil war, end quote, with a tweet on the night of the raid in which Crowder wrote, quote, sleep well, tomorrow is war, end quote. Crowder clearly meant that as a metaphoric war, but that hasn't stopped the media and Democrats from gaslighting conservatives. Conservatives that are shocked at the politicalization of the Department of Justice and the FBI. And they apparently are hoping to bait conservatives into a violent response, which they would then use like the January 6, 2021 event. And then they would use that to punish people on the right far more harshly than they punish people on the left for the very same or worse infractions. Well, all of this led Crowder to respond with this video.
Right-wing YouTube influencer Steven Crowder wrote, "Tomorrow is war," on his public Twitter account.
We're not calling people to violence. There are other ways to fight ideologies. When you talk about going to war politically against an opponent, this is moronic. This is taking something completely out of context and saying, oh, this is definitely what they meant. They want people to go and be violent.
What Stephen essentially meant is more and more is happening to you,
yeah,
where more and more government agencies are coming after you. So sleep well. It was a bit of a tone of sarcasm.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with a threat whatsoever.
No. And tomorrow is war. Tomorrow we're fighting this.
Boyd concludes by writing that leftists consistently use allegations of violence, quote, whether real fringe violence or the imagined violence of free speech, as an excuse to target their enemies. So it's no surprise that their focus regarding the FBI's actions is not on the fact that unelected bureaucrats rifled through the Republican Party leader's personal items for more than 9 hours without explaining themselves, but that conservatives' reaction to the abuse of power could include violence, end quote. The truth is, Boyd continues, quote, leftists and their cronies and the corrupt corporate media are doing their best to provoke that kind of violence with precisely these outrageous tactics, hoping some MAGA hat-wearing conservatives will do something illegal or something that can be framed as illegal in response to the raid, so they're eligible for swift and drastic punishment, end quote. So far, there has been almost no violence to speak of, although FBI Director Christopher Wray has complained about threats being called in against FBI agents in the wake of the raid on Trump's home. The Democrats and the FBI must be very disappointed that we have not had a 9/11 scale attack at this point. There was one incident in Cincinnati, Ohio, Thursday that did not end well for the perpetrator. Shots were reported at the FBI's Cincinnati office Thursday morning about 9 a.m. when an armed person wearing body armor attempted to breach the building and encountered agents. The suspect reportedly fired a nail gun into the FBI's Cincinnati building and fled, with multiple units of police in hot pursuit. That's according to NBC News. The FBI tweeted, quote, at approximately 9 a.m. this morning, an armed subject attempted to breach the visitor screening facility at FBI Cincinnati. After an alarm and a response by FBI special agents, the subject fled north onto Interstate 71, end quote. Authorities said the FBI, Ohio State Highway Patrol, and local law enforcement responded to this, quote, critical incident, end quote, of a nail gun being fired. The Clinton County Emergency Management Agency said a lockdown was in effect within a one-mile radius of where the incident took place. Parts of the interstate were also locked down as the man reportedly also had an AR-15 in his vehicle and allegedly traded shots with officers firing from his car. The suspect abandoned his car on the interstate and fled into the woods on foot. An officer with the Ohio State Patrol reportedly followed after him. When the suspect allegedly raised his gun in the direction of the officer, he was shot dead, according to the Associated Press. No officers were hurt in the incident, which comes after FBI Director Christopher Wray condemned, quote, deplorable and dangerous, end quote, threats against law enforcement that have been made in the wake of the FBI raid on President Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence in Florida. The FBI has stated it is monitoring social media posts looking for any threats aimed at FBI agents, the director of the FBI, or the attorney general. Welcome back. Now it's time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. Attorney General Merrick Garland confirmed Thursday that he personally approved the FBI raid at former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate and announced that the Justice Department has filed a motion to unseal the search warrant. Garland told the public that, quote, I personally approve the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter, end quote, noting that the Justice Department, quote, does not take such a decision lightly, end quote. Here he is speaking at this press conference briefing on Thursday.
Faithful adherence to the rule of law is the bedrock principle of the Justice Department and of our democracy. Upholding the rule of law means applying the law evenly, without fear or favor. Under my watch, that is precisely what the Justice Department is doing. All Americans are entitled to the even-handed application of the law, to due process of the law, and to the presumption of innocence. Much of our work is by necessity conducted out of the public eye. We do that to protect the constitutional rights of all Americans and to protect the integrity of our investigations. Federal law, long-standing department rules, and our ethical obligations prevent me from providing further details as to the basis of the search at this time. There are, however, certain points I want you to know. First, I personally approved the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter. Second, the department does not take such a decision lightly. Where possible, it is standard practice to seek less intrusive means as an alternative to a search and to narrowly scope any search that is undertaken. Third, let me address recent unfounded attacks on the professionalism of the FBI and Justice Department agents and prosecutors. I will not stand by silently when their integrity is unfairly attacked. The men and women of the FBI and the Justice Department are dedicated, patriotic public servants. Every day, they protect the American people from violent crime, terrorism, and other threats to their safety while safeguarding our civil rights. They do so at great personal sacrifice and risk to themselves. I am honored to work alongside them. This is all I can say right now.
Integrity. What integrity? This is an agency that used a SWAT team to take in nonviolent Roger Stone in the middle of the night. An elderly man with his cancer-stricken wife who owned no firearms, it's reported. This is an agency that helped a group of men plot the kidnapping of Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and then lied about it. This is the same agency that sent agents provocateur, reportedly men like Ray Epps, into the January 6th crowd and incited them to enter the Capitol and then lied about it. So maybe the Attorney General should spare us all the fake outrage. Perhaps this man is delusional. If the FBI and the Department of Justice had any integrity whatsoever, it would not be applying one standard to Donald Trump and another to Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, made off with hundreds, it's reported, hundreds of classified documents and never looked back. It would also not be sitting on Hunter Biden's laptop, which we know is full of incriminating evidence of dirty business deals in China, according to my personal interviews with Mayor Rudy Giuliani, not to mention business deals in Ukraine, according to numerous sources. And then we're told it's filled with all kinds of sexual deviant images. As Joy Pullman notes in a column written pre-Mar-a-Lago, quote, in Michigan, the FBI openly meddled in the upcoming election by affecting the selection of candidates, arresting and charging the formerly leading Republican candidate for governor for misdemeanors. The FBI raided Ryan Kelly's home, while polls showed he was leading in the primaries. In the primary election last week, he came in fourth, end quote. After the raid on Trump's home, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was quick to offer her two cents, stating that, quote, no person is above the law, end quote. Really? No person except, I guess, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Crooked Hillary, Lois Lerner, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Pelosi herself, and the list goes on and on and on. So, until Mr. Garland's agency moves on the Hunter Biden scandal and his, quote, 10% for the big guy, end quote, we don't want to hear lectures about the professionalism of the FBI or the DOJ. They're nothing but political hacks and have a long track record, not of integrity, but of corruption. Some of the most rank and vile corruption this country has ever seen has been carried out by the DOJ and FBI in the last several years. Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. As always, we thank you for watching and we ask for your support. We are a listener-supported broadcast. I remind you again, it takes a team of seven of us, about 15 man-hours a day, to put this broadcast together. Without your help, without your support, we don't have the funding we need to keep it going. So please, support us in the following ways. One, you can go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code B66. With that promo code, you save up to 66%, and we get credit. So it's a win-win for all of us. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattress toppers, robes. There's an awful lot at MyPillow.com. But please, use that promo code B66 for savings, and then we get credit. You can also go to MyStore.com. That same promo code works there. MyStore.com. It's a place for entrepreneurs. You'll also find My Coffee there. Use that code B66 to save up to 25%. B66. It works also at MyStore.com. You can also go to WVWTVStore.com. WVWTVStore.com. I've been a distributor of freeze-dried food, emergency freeze-dried food, since 2016. It has a shelf life of 25 years, so check it out. It's a big part of our general operating budget. Please go to WVWTVstore.com. Check out the emergency supplies and other resources. And then finally, you can just make a contribution of any size at WVWFoundation.com. WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. WVWFoundation.com. Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. Thank you so much for watching. Until next time, may God save America. Take care.